gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Once again, joining us today, we have Claire, the garden editor. How are you doing today, Claire? You all right?
I'm very well, Dave. As you know, it's always nice to be in the studio because it's warm and dry.
Didn't it rain yesterday?
Didn't it rain? I was out doing 3.5 hours doing a really big plant out job.
What, when we had the house stones?
Yep.
Oh,
yeah,
dear.
And we just had to keep going and keep going on. And it was good fun. But by the third hour, I kind of to get have a cup of tea and get out of the weather.
That's dedication for you, isn't it, eh?
Well, I suppose it comes back to what we've been experiencing, haven't we? It's been such a cold spring. So do you think back to 3 years ago when it was the COVID pandemic?
Mm-hmm.
This time of year, it was beautiful skies. My son was sleeping out in a tent every night.
That's right, because I think that was the time I bought my hot tub then as well.
Oh, yeah, precisely. So, well, I mean, good on you. If you go in a hot tub right now, that's more like a Scandi trial.
No, I haven't even filled it up this year yet. Oh, no. I don't even want to think about what it's going to cost to heat it this year.
They do cost a lot. I think a lot of people discovered that and think, maybe not.
So, no.
But yeah, it's just been such a cold spring, hasn't it? So spring is officially here, as we know.
Is it? Really? I thought did I blink then? Did I miss that? Did we have spring?
My tulips are out. Things coming along. There's lots of really good root growth, but we're not seeing things coming into flower yet. Things are a little bit delayed. But that's nature. You know, you can't say 1st of April, you know, spring up, or 25th of April, 26th of April, please perform in this way. You know, nature's got its own way.
No. So what are we talking about today then, Claire?
Well, I thought we have got lots of bank holidays coming up.
Yeah, we have, haven't we? Yeah.
I don't know about you. I don't know what your plans are. Day weekend
as little as possible,
indeed. And then between doing as little as possible, I think a lot of people like going plant shopping. They like going to garden centres or DIY places, ready for this summer that we might have.
Absolutely. So are we talking about shopping today?
So we're going to talk about shopping, how to get the best. Yeah I know bear with.
It's not a bloke thing, is it, shopping?
Well, it is. I think it's for everyone. I think it genuinely is for anyone. And I work at a nursery one day a week. And I'd say we probably have a pretty 50-50 split between people who are interested across the genders. But when you go to a garden centre, it's really tempting, isn't it? You're kind of like full of promise. Okay, let's get the garden ready. And it's very easy to spend a lot of money and to not necessarily get the best out of it. So I thought I would share my top tips on how to shop well for plants.
What a good idea. Off you go then.
Okay, so first off is, it's a bit like shopping for anything. Know what you're going in for. So have a plan. Are you going to fill in a gap in your border? Are you trying to fill up a pot or container? Are you there trying to buy a tree or a shrub? Do you have an idea about what it is that you're going for? Some people like shopping like that. Other people just want to go in and have a browse. That's fine, but just be aware, if you're going in just to have a browse, it's very easy to get distracted and start piling up things in the trolley. And if you haven't thought beforehand, you might then pick up lots of stuff which isn't suitable for your space, because it might not grow in the soil that you've got. Remember, we talked about what type of soil we have, whether it's kind of chalky, whether the area we're looking at planting gets a lot of sun, or is it shady. So those types of things will help you pick the best plants for your requirements. So do a bit of research and a bit of thinking beforehand if you can bear it. So that would be my kind of ideal way of shopping. Don't just go for impulse purchases. Go with a bit of a plan, bit of an idea of your budget. The thing about garden centres and nurseries in particular is they are full of lots of people who care about plants. So if you say, I'm looking for ground cover in shady area, to a nursery assistant, they will tell you what kind of thing might work there.
I suppose when you go to the garden centre, it's no different to going food shopping, really. Go with a shopping list.
Exactly. So, it's the same thing.
Okay.
And don't shop hungry. So don't shop thinking, oh, my garden's empty, and then just fill up on a load of what I would call trash plants.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, feel all empty again.
Yeah, because I don't think, if we've ever been to the garden centre, I don't think we've ever gone there with, oh, let's get some plants for so-and-so and so-and-so. We've just gone and had a look around and ended up with a load of stuff that Well, didn't really do much, really.
Yeah, and it's so tempting, isn't it? Because it looks so nice, and it's, you know, it's there, and you can smell it, and you can touch it, and feel it, and it makes us feel good, doesn't it? But quite often, if you don't make the list and kind of work out what it is that you want, then you might end up buying the wrong things.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Let's say ideal world. Done a bit of thinking beforehand. So the next thing is you go in, you see, and you decide, okay, it's this plant I want. And quite often, nurseries and garden centres are really good at showing us stuff in flower, in bloom, and we go, ooh, wow, that looks nice, or that smells delightful. Anything which is kind of performing at this time. When plants are in flower, that is when they are, frankly, at their most stressed. They're basically putting out flowers to say, I need to reproduce, and I need to kind of set seed and get pollinated and fertilised for the next lot.
All right.
So if you buy a plant in flower, it's only ever going to be less floriferous, sorry, it's a very long word, as the weeks go on. So if you see a plant in flower and you plant it, that's a high stress situation for that plant, and you're transferring it from a lovely nursery environment into your soil, which might be cold and wet, bearing in mind the week we've just had.
Yeah.
So it's not likely to perform at its best. However, if you see that plant and you see that there's some others which aren't yet in flower but might have lots of flower buds, those are the ones I would go for. So they might not be right at the front row, but a bit like supermarket shopping where, you know, they stack by best before date. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the one with more dates at the back.
Exactly. Mm. So you're going to want to look for something. You think, oh, this plant I really, really like. Then look for ones towards the back which have the buds forming but aren't yet in flower. And that means when you plant it, it's then got time to establish its roots and then flower in your garden, where you get the benefit of those flowers rather than the benefit of the flowers being in the shop in the first place.
Okay.
So that's,
I've never thought of it like that, but I can understand that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, but we need the inspiration, right? So that's why it's good to look at plants in flower, and it's nice to see those things.
Yeah.
And then tip three is don't just buy one of one plant. Now, this is a really hard one.
Do they get lonely then?
Well, they can get lonely, but they also can look a bit rubbish.
All right, okay.
It is much better if there's three or four plants you want, it is much better to get two groups of three of two of them rather than one of each of them. The reason why is quite often that the impact that we look for in a garden, particularly if we're looking from the inside out, is always much more visually better if we group plants together.
All
and
right.
Quite often, if you just have one of each, they can easily get lost in everything else. So we tend to say plant in odd groups, so groups of three, five or seven, to give a kind of a naturalistic flow. And that's so it means rather than thinking, oh, I want one of each of these plants, they're all lovely, try and restrain yourselves and go for just one or two, but in larger numbers, and it will have much more of a visual impact than buying one or two.
All right.
So that's my tip number. What tip my number
that
one?
Was three.
That was three. Yeah. Okay. I think I've got five in total, actually.
Okay.
I can read my squiggly writing. And then the other thing is think ahead to what's going to happen next, because it's very easy to buy something in flower because you know what it looks like, right? You can see it and you think, oh, it's got lovely purple flowers or whatever. But when that plant is finished flowering, what's going to happen next in your garden? What do you want to go along beside it? And that's where it's good to look at accompanying plants, which might not be in flower yet, but might flower in a month or two, or might have interesting good ground cover. And that's where you can either ask nursery staff, or you look for things which are called ground cover plants, which will give you that more of a season of interest. Or you might look at the area which says spring flowering and then move on to summer flowering or autumn flowering. So try not to just get all the same plants in flower at the same time, because you'll have a great moment of joy and then...
And it'll look a bit...
Yeah.
Just desolate, and then, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So you want stuff which is either going to pop up later on, or ground cover, which is going to give you almost like a carpet. Think about it when you're food shopping, you know, making sure you've got enough cereal or bread for your breakfasts every morning, and then you can vary your lunches and dinners.
So what plants would you class as ground covering ones in?
So ground cover ones which are good are things like hardy geraniums.
All right.
So things like Geranium Roseanne are great. They just spread out and they cover all the weeds and they scramble around the other plants. Statues by Xanthia, which is commonly known as lamb's ears, which is really soft and fluffy, really, really tactile plant. Those are really, really good for covering over ground. From spring interest onwards, we have things like begonias or elephant ears, which also provide evergreen round shapes and then little flowers in spring. And those are the kind of things we can just do and fill in the space. So you're saving money by not trying to have lots of exciting, spectacular flowers all at the same time, but you're kind of spreading your season and spreading your money around a bit further.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there we are. So make the list. Know what you're shopping for. Don't blind flower. Buy in odd groups. The next one is checking out the sale items. We love a bargain, don't we?
Absolutely.
And did you
We're British. Of course we like sale items.
Of course we do. And then we'll queue for it. Yeah, then we'll queue up for the sale items,
Right. And then when we get home and it doesn't work, we just put it to one side and forget about it.
And we'll tut.
Yeah.
But no, this is... So garden centres and nurseries do have sale items. Quite often you might see them near the entrance or the exit. And you can get some real bargains. You can get some real things to avoid and some really great bargains. So things to avoid are anything which looks like it's got pests or diseases. So anything which looks like it's been nibbled or chewed or is a bit slimy, that is a sure sign that that plant has probably got some kind of infection or is subject to some pest attack. And I would absolutely not recommend taking that plant home and giving it another shot at life, because you're probably likely to introduce a fresh pest or disease into your garden, which could spread and infect your other plants. So I wouldn't go for anything like that. However, sometimes you get end of range plants where, you know, they might have gone over. For example, hellebores at the moment are just finishing. So a lot of nurseries are clearing out their stock of hellebores because they're not in flower. But you plant them now. By November, they'll be in flower beautifully. So you can get some good bargains by end of season plants, and also ones which are about to outgrow their pot. So if you think a plant pot is a certain size, a plant is growing and growing and growing, for a nursery or a garden centre, potting that on to a bigger pot will mean more money, more compost and more looking after it. So they might choose to just put it on the sale rail, in which case you can take it out of its pot and you might be able to split it up. Do you remember we talked about lifting and dividing plants?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Exactly. So you might be able to think, aha, well, that looks like one plant, but actually I could split it into three. So,
all right. Yeah.
So that's what I would go for in the sale rail. Not the pest and disease ones, but the end of season and the ones which look a bit too big for their pot. Excuse me.
That's all right. So when you said about the plants and bet, but not buying them when they're in flower, I mean, a lot of the time I think we've bought, like, you know, the polystyrene boxes full of pansies or something, which look all very nice, and you get them home and you plant them, then within a couple of weeks they're sort of, oh, it's a bit naff really.
Yes, and that, well, that's the thing as well sometimes with buying in flower, because it's really enticing. And I should say, because it's been a really cold spring, a lot of nurseries and garden centres, you might not see the same range that you've experienced, because plants are, like, you know, they're susceptible to the nature. So at our nursery, we have a good range of plants, but they're probably all a bit behind where they were two or three seasons ago.
Yeah,
that's just what it is. With the pansies and things like that, those are annuals. And so what will have happened is they will have been grown in the winter in a greenhouse, probably heated, which means they've grown in a very protected environment. Then you're suddenly taking them out of that protected environment into your garden, which might have wind, it might have chill.
Frost, whatever. Yeah.
Even if not frost, then just a lot of rain, or, you know, even the hailstones we had yesterday, whatever. So
where did they come from?
Oh, I don't know, but I'd wish they would go away. Good Lord above. So you're thinking, which leads on to our next topic we'll chat about in a bit. But yeah, for things like pansies, again, if you are buying them, try to buy the ones which aren't in flower. So look behind, look to see if there's some more stock coming out, and that will give you a better chance. Personally, for me, I'd always opt for perennials over annuals like pansies, just because I think it's more environmentally friendly. You've not got the polystyrene to then have to manage, and it's not been grown in a heated greenhouse over winter. So you kind of know if it's been grown outside, in a field in Hampshire, like what our plants are, they're going to survive better in your garden than something which has been kind of heat treated.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Which probably brings us on to our next topic, if we can. Yeah. I think that's all my tips. I think I've covered them all. But I was going to talk a bit about hardening off, which is what happens, and how to take plants which have been grown indoors and how to plant them out in the big wide world.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, we might be growing sweet peas, for example. Yeah. Don't know how your sweet peas are going on.
Or well, they're growing.
Yes. Yeah.
I will take a picture and I'll bring them in next week and show you.
Lovely. That would be grand. I'd love to see them.
I'll bring my sweet peas in.
Bring your sweet peas in. It feels like we're back at school, isn't it?
Show and tell, isn't it? Show and tell.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So when we grow seedlings, they've grown up normally on a windowsill, or if you're lucky enough, in, you know, in a greenhouse or something like that. And that protects our seedlings at their really baby stage and then really, really first steps of growth. So we control what nutrition they get. We control the water they get. They're probably not in a very windy place. And then we have to take them out of that little place into the garden. If you plant things straight away from taking them indoors into your garden, they're going to go through another big shock system, because suddenly they're going to experience wind for the first time. They might experience rain, hailstones.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, slugs.
Sunshine. Might have some sunshine.
Oh, yeah. Let's not get too optimistic, though. You know,
we had some yesterday morning.
We did. And then for a little while. It completely disappeared.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I went on site.
Yeah.
It was very galling. So they're going to be exposed to all the elements. They're going to be exposed to potentially a bit of frost, though we hopefully are past the worst of the frosts. And as you're right, they could be exposed to drought or to heat scorch. Mm. So the process by which we get them happy with this is we do something called hardening off, which means during the daytime, you take your tray of seedlings and you put them outside. It's as simple as that. So you might put them on the ground. If you're like me and you have an inquisitive dog, I put them on a garden table, or just on a garden chair, just somewhere where they're going to be exposed to the change of temperature. They're going to feel the wind on their leaves, which is really important for getting good strength in their stems. And then you bring them in at night, because at night that's when they're most vulnerable to being eaten, and also that's when the temperatures tend to drop the most.
Yeah.
So if you do this kind of shuffle for about a week or 10 days, it means when you do actually plant them out, they're already kind of, it's a bit like teenagers moving out of house, I say, you know, if you kick them all out completely with nothing, it's much more likely to fail than if you say, okay, well, you know, phase out moving out, please. But, you know, you do need to move out. So we're giving them a good start in life by hardening them off, by adjusting them to the outdoors life. And then you get ready to plant out.
Okay.
And you can do the same if you do buy things over the bank holiday weekend. You think, oh, these look quite small and they might have been grown indoors. You can do the same with those types of plants as well. Just keep them indoors for a bit. And
nurture them for a little while.
Exactly.
Okay. We use that word, nurture. We can nurture them for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, okay. Anything else for today?
So I think that's it. So hopefully now you can come up with a shopping list of what you want in a garden centre, or you can go for a mooch and hunt around the bargain rail a bit more, but know what it is you could pick up and you don't pick up. And then as and when your sweet peas are ready to be hardened off, you'll be a pro at
I'll be a garden professional.
You will indeed, absolutely.
Well, we're not going to see you next week, are we? But the week after.
That's right. Yep. So 2 weeks' time, back in the normal
slot. 2 weeks' time, and that'll be after the coronation as well, won't it?
It will be after the coronation. Wow. And I do hope the weather improves between now and then, and we get to talk about how the coronation weekend has been for everyone and what to look forward to in May, because we'll be well into May by then.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a bit disappointed because my invite's gone missing. I haven't had it yet. Mind you, it's still a couple of weeks, yeah, isn't it? So,
I think you've just dropped them a line and say about your sweet pea professional growing experience, then I'm sure you're front bench.
Yeah, I might drop them an email after the show today, yeah.
Sounds good.
Cool. Right, okay then. And before you go, what is your song for today?
Well, I thought we should embrace our inner consumer for this one, as we're talking about going shopping. So I thought, who says it better than Madonna with Material Girl?
Thank you very much. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Thanks for your time today, Claire.
Cheers. Bye.